Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to episode 216 of the Tool Show with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how was your weekend, bud?
Good. I saw some ball games. It's always fun. Went and saw some Red Sox low A, and I saw Austin Charles. So that was a good time. Spent the day in Columbia. Did a lot of things. Katarina went with me, so she went to the game. It was the shortest game in history. It was an hour and 57 minutes.
There you go.
It was nuts. So she was happy. It was fun. We had a good time. So
now, how far away is Columbia from you?
It's about an hour and a half.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Nah, not too bad.
It's a lot shorter than the drive I had to make. Well, I wasn't actually driving, but me and some friends went down to Philadelphia. We went to see a Phillies and Dodgers game. It was Nola versus Miller. That was pretty fun, even though Nola pitched like crap, and the Phillies got, I think, four hits the entire game. Bobby Miller pitched pretty good, so that was fun. But yeah, I think I'm Aaron Nola's jinx. I've seen Nola twice, and he pitched like crap both games. And also, the Phillies manager, both games, got ejected.
Nice.
I forget who was their manager in 21. I can't remember. But I remember the name will come to me later on, got ejected like the first inning for arguing balls and strikes. And this one was like something to do with a review or something like that. But yeah.
Girardi.
Was it Girardi back then? Might have been. Probably was. Yeah, that sounds right. But yeah, so I'm 2-for-2 in bad Nola starts and the Phillies skipper getting the hook. So, but it was still a fun time. That's a beautiful stadium. Luckily, all the smog and all that crap lifted. But once we were going through New York, it wasn't too bad. But yeah, another day, another episode of the Tool Shed here. Episode 216. Got about 12 pack of names on the list here today. Some fun names, not necessarily big names, but a couple of decent sized names that are just performing well of late, and some pop up names this year. See, you know, how legitimate we think these guys are moving forward. If we're buying the performance, selling, just kind of digging into it all. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClay. I'm Eric Cross 04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, Chris's Substack and my Patreon, for more work from each of us, including our prospect and dynasty rankings. All right, we'll start out with some hitters. We got six of each, six hitters, six pitchers to start on the hitting side of things, with Nolan Jones, who cranked another huge walk-off home run today, now has four home runs and four steals, which is kind of surprising, and 54 plate appearances since getting recalled a couple of weeks ago by Colorado. Slashing 360, 407, 680. Is striking out over 30% of the time, Chris, but quality of contact is pretty damn good, and he's looking good right now. But how much are you buying into this deal these last few weeks from Nolan Jones?
How often are the Rockies going to play him? I guess that's the question.
Right.
Because they are just the Rockies. The Rockies are going to Rocky. Jones has made some improvements this year. He's making more contact than ever, so that's encouraging to see. His own contact rate last year was 71.6%, up to 83.3% in his small major league sample. That's still an encouraging step to see. I'll pull the AAA numbers to see where he was at there, because obviously that gives you a decent idea. He spent a lot of time in AAA, surprisingly. And yeah, he ran at 88.3% zone contact in AAA, which is extremely good. 20% chase rate. Like to see that a lot. 76% overall contact. So it's pretty much it's expected the regression they had in the major leagues from AAA, but it's still really good numbers. So contact is up. There's no denying the power. The biggest thing for me with Nolan Jones is the swing rate. Like, how often is he going to swing the bat? I think that held him back for the longest time. Just didn't swing the bat enough. He's swinging at 37.8% of pitches right now in the majors. That's a 54% zone swing rate, which is encouraging. In AAA, he swung at just 33% of pitches. We harp on Emmanuel Rodriguez all the time for not swinging the bat, but he swings the bat more than Nolan Jones does. Like, Nolan Jones does not swing the bat enough. I'm fine if he doesn't swing the bat. Swing the bat in the zone, though. Like, if you don't want to swing outside the zone, I'm good with that. That makes for a great hitter. But you got to be more aggressive in the zone than that, Nolan Jones, or you're going to run into higher strikeout rates and higher CSW rates, because he's too patient. He's getting too deep into counts, and it's leading to strikeouts. In a general sense, though, Nolan Jones is not going to keep doing what he's doing. But I do think there's some value to be had here with Nolan Jones. There's power. The speed is interesting, to say the least. Like, can't say we expected this from him. This many stolen bases in this short of time. I mean, between AAA and the majors, he's up to 9. So he's running. The power is kind of what you're hanging your hat on, and the fact that you can get a nice boost from Coors Field. So that obviously is a nice benefit too, playing all your home games there. He's actually been better on the road. I know it's a small sample, but slashing 368, 368, 632 on the road, slashing 333, 419, 630 at home. So, yeah, no, I mean, good at both, but there's not a drastic split there, but that will probably become the case over time. With that being said, I think Nolan Jones is probably, man, like, where would you rank him right now in Dynasty? Like, top 200-ish?
I don't know. I'm feeling a little hesitant after I went around that high with Brent Rooker earlier in the season, and then Rooker fell off. I'm not doing a direct comparison, but this almost feels like a similar situation, because Rooker kind of was always had that upside, never could capitalize on it, and was hitting really well, just like Jones is now, and they fell off. And we've seen Jones be very streaky. We've seen him have some really good months, really some really bad months. You know, maybe, I mean, if I had to publish my rankings right now, I think he's probably like in the 275 to 300 range, but he's trending up, obviously, but I'm almost leaning more towards a sell, because, you know, there is still some, you know, he still swings and misses too much, doesn't chase too much, but does swing and miss too much. Not like a terribly high rate, but Now, and I'm not saying he's going to fall off a cliff completely. Then, like you mentioned, what does he play? Especially when it's right now the Rockies have Crone, Blackman, and Bryant all on the IL. I mean, Crone back spasms, Blackman fractured hand, and Chris Bryant heel contusion. So when these guys start coming back over, you know, next few weeks or month or two, where does he play? Because that you also got Jerickson Profar in the picture. You also got Randall Grichuk. You got Brenton Doyle. You know, if there's only one guy out, I'd feel okay with Jones staying in the lineup. But when all three of these guys come back, who knows where he's going to end up? I think it's a less it depend on how he's hitting at the time and how Profar's hitting at the time and Brenton Doyle. But I am leaning more towards a sell right now. I think there's still a little too much swing and miss in the profile for my liking, too much inconsistency, and just not sure where he's going to fit in. So I would be more inclined to sell. But would you buy or sell right now? Which way are you leaning?
I think I'd sell. If I could, I definitely would sell. Cash out on it.
Yeah, if you can, for sure. All right, the next guy here, Spencer Steer. We talked a few Cincinnati Reds last time, but not Spencer Steer, who's quietly performing pretty well. He's now up to 282, 362, 474, 8 home runs and 5 steals and 268 plate appearances. You know, the quality, he's even been even better over the last month or so. He's over 300 over the last month. The quality of contact is, kind of middle of the road. 5.5% barrel rate, exit velo right under 90, hard hit rate about 38%, but he's showing a pretty good approach. 10% walk rate, 18% strikeout rate, and whiff rate's only 22.5%, chase rate 21.5%, 83.5% zone contact rate. So, showing some good metrics there, and he's shown some decent pop, in the minor leagues, and lately the power's ticked up a little bit. So this one I'm kind of buying. I feel like he's still a bit underrated. I think, Chris, and with all the, everyone's focusing on, McLean and Ellie, obviously, and, when is Encarnacion Strand going to be up? But Steers has quietly been good. He's 25. He can play, multiple positions. I think he's a sneaky buy right now.
Yeah, I could see that. It all depends on how the person who rosters him values him. But like you said, he's just so under the radar just because of how many studs there are in Cincinnati's org right now. And you look, and he's a little close to having a lot more home runs. I'm looking at his spray chart. He's had some really loud outs, like to warning tracks. Like they'd be out in some parks. So I know he has 8 home runs right now. He has 5 stolen bases, but I feel like he's close to having several more home runs just with a little power uptick. So I do certainly like this profile. He doesn't chase. He makes good contact on pitches in the zone. He swings enough. Like he's definitely swinging more than Nolan Jones, and he has a solid 62% zone swing rate. So he's taking advantage of pitches in the zone, and his meatball swing rate is 70%. So he's swinging at really good pitches, and you like to see that for sure. Looking at the Statcast data, he's definitely taken a step forward. He did not hit the ball hard at all last year. He had an 84.7 mile an hour average EV last year in the majors. That's just pretty atrocious. And while it was a little better in AAA, it hovered around 88 miles an hour. So it was fine. This year, he's jumped to almost 90 mile an hour average EV. The barrel rate, it's the issue. He's hitting the ball hard, but not turning into barrels. He has a 5.4% barrel rate right now, which is slightly down from last year. I like the profile overall. I think that he's never going to be a flashy, like, fantasy stud, but that's fine. Like, you don't really need him to be. So Steer is someone that I think is a decent buy, because I think that he's going to consistently stay under the radar in Cincinnati, and he's just going to provide really good just across the board. Like, he never be elite, but just really solid numbers across the board for fantasy purposes. So I'm on board with buying Spencer Steer.
Yeah, I feel like he's kind of doing what we were hoping Jose Miranda was going to do this year. And obviously Miranda fell off a cliff this year and hasn't even been performing well in the minor leagues either. But yeah, like Steer's been playing a little bit of first, a little bit of left field. And it's not like Nolan Jones where it's like a lot of guys about to come back. I mean, yeah, well, actually, they do, actually. They have more guys in the IL than I thought they did. Honestly, Votto is rehabbing right now. So is Senzel. But, you know, and Fraley just went on the IL. But even when some of these guys were healthy, you know, Steer still has been playing basically almost every day or close to it. So, yeah, I am buying Steer a bit here. But I think I'm buying this next guy a bit more, Chris. And I didn't think I would. Like, entering the season, I did not think that you and I would be talking about this guy in, you know, early to middle part of June as a guy that's been sneaky really good so far this year. That's Ezekiel Duran for the Texas Rangers, currently slashing .310, .359, .510 in 167 plate appearances, 7 home runs, 3 steals. But the underlying metrics have been pretty damn good. Like, he doesn't walk a ton, but keeps the K rate in check. All the expected metrics are right in line, basically, with what he's doing, even a little better in some instances. Quality contact's pretty solid as well. 10.5% barrel rate, 91.1 exit velo, 47.8 hard hit rate, 91st percentile sprint speed as well. I mean, outside of him being, you know, a bit aggressive, you know, chase rate, whiff rate aren't the greatest, and neither is the walk rate, like I mentioned. There's a lot of good metrics in this profile, so I think I am, I mean, I'm like, fully buying. I'm not going to go, like, super high in him in my rankings, but definitely intrigued to see how this continues.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, where was the playing time going to be when everybody came back healthy on this team? And this is a really, really good lineup in Texas. Like,
yeah,
the best lineup in baseball, dare I say. Like, they've been so good. It's just kind of outrageous how good they've been. But Duran has found consistent playing time, and that's encouraging to me because they want him in this lineup wherever they can find a spot. It's a young kid who just turned 24. I mean, he was 23 up until last month. So still a young kid coming into his own. Like, I would have guessed that this is what Leody Taveras would have done. But instead, we're seeing Ezekiel Duran do that. He's shown a ton of flexibility to kind of play across the board. Played some second base this year. Played some third base. He filled in at shortstop when Seager was out. He's played in left field and right field. He played in center field. That was last year. Center field, but across the board, like, he's just playing pretty much everywhere, which is encouraging. That flexibility has a ton of value in itself. And then you look at the metrics, and he just keeps hitting. It felt like he was going to fall off a cliff at some point, like he couldn't just sustain what he was doing, but there's enough data at this point to feel comfortable saying, all right, there's some tangible change. He's hitting the ball much harder than he ever has in his career. He's lifting the ball much more than he ever has in his career. So those things obviously matter. Talking about barrels, 10.4% barrel rate here from the man himself, Ezekiel Duran. A 91.1 mile an hour average exit velocity is really good. Like, that's 76th percentile. So that's really solid. He's hitting the ball hard consistently, 48% hard hit rate, not striking out. Yeah, there's some chase issues, but this is a power speed blend that has shown decent contact skills. And I'm a little intrigued here. Like, I think that he's better than I've given him credit for in the past.
Yeah, and he always kind of showed that nice power speed blend in the minor leagues, but the hit tool was kind of what was the question mark here. And again, he's still pretty aggressive, but now I don't think he's going to maintain hitting above .310 moving forward. But, you know, I think he can still hit for a solid average and this nice little power speed blend. And he is staying in the lineup. Like, look at the last 6 games here. For Texas, he started them 5 of them. He got 2 starts at shortstop, 2 in left, at 1 at DH. And I got to feel like that's going to be kind of what happens moving forward, because Seager's gotten, in the last 6 games, 4 at short and 2 at DH. They probably want to try to keep him in the lineup, so maybe they give him some extra time at DH, and that would give Duran the starts there. And then he could play, you know, left field, which is kind of been like a rotating door of a little bit of him, a little bit of Travis Jankowski, a little bit of Robbie Grossman. So it's not like they have one locked in guy there either. So yeah, I think he can still start, you know, if not every day, close to it, at least, like, you know, have maybe one day off a week or something like that. But yeah, I think there's a lot of legitimacy here to what Duran's doing. So I think I'm buying him as well. Heading over to the National League Central. This is I guess they call him a veteran because he's been in the league. This is his 3rd year now, but he's still only 26 years old. And that's Jonathan India from the Reds. Guy that had a very good rookie season. You know, a lot of rankings had him. I feel like he rose up in the top 50 or close to it in a lot of dynasty rankings, especially ones that are OBP focused. But then last year was dealing with some injuries and just had a down year overall, but bouncing back in a nice way this year, kind of back to what he was doing, you know, back in 2021, and even running a ton more this year. Overall, he has 12 steals, 7 home runs. He's already scored 52 runs, so he's on pace for well over 100 runs. Slashing 275, 360, 422. So power, you know, is more of a better hard hit rate, lower barrel rate, but overall the power hasn't been great. But the added steals and getting back to like that on-base guy that he's been, scoring a lot of runs, hitting for solid average. So yeah, India seems to be back, Chris.
Yeah, I don't think there's any denying that. So I'm all on board with India. Second base is a wasteland, and
it sure is.
India is just sneaky good value across the board. I mean, he provides stolen bases, he provides pop, he provides a great OBP and a decent average. Like he's plays much better in OBP league, and I think in an OBP league, you could argue that Jonathan India might be in like tier one of second baseman for dynasty. Because he's 26 and because we've seen these, you know, the tangible metrics that back this. Like he's a legit bat. And once he really started to break out, like in 2021, like this is who he's been. Like he's consistently ran high OBPs. Last year was a weird year, but there were some injuries. But he's back this year and he's doing exactly what he did in 2021. So I'm certainly encouraged by that. The steals are awesome to see. He only stole 12. In 2021, over 150 games, he's already stolen 12 this year in 66 games. So he's playing every day. Like you're getting a lot of volume out of him. I mean, you're looking at like he's like top 10 in plate appearances. He's like seventh in plate appearances this year, which is phenomenal. Like, but that volume matters in fantasy. And I think we dog on the compilers too much, but India's compiling. He's doing everything you want to see. Hitting the ball hard. I mean, he's not going to like blow you away with StatCast data, but hard enough to make an impact. He hits the ball in the sweet spot consistently. So healthy launch angles. He doesn't chase often. He doesn't swing and miss often. So like I said, I think India is right in tier one for OBP. For average, maybe a step down, but he's still very valuable. So I'm all in on this.
Yeah, no, he definitely is right up there. If you look at the second base rankings right now, you know, Jazz, you know, had the nice power speed blend, was hurt, hitting for low average. Ozzy has kind of been okay this year, not great. And then you got the older guys who are, you know, they're about 33 with Semien, Altuve. You know, Tommy Edman's been okay this year. Gorman's, you know, had his nice little breakout season. But yeah, then you're getting into the Gorman, Gleyber Torres, you know, Jonathan India range. And you know, maybe you can throw maybe Thairo Estrada in there. He's eligible in your league. But yeah, then it's a drop off. And you got the underperforming or hurt veterans with like Brendan Lowe and Trevor Story and, you know, guys like that. So yeah, I absolutely think that he's no doubt top 10 option, probably right in that, you know, top five or so range, especially for OBP, like you mentioned, because a lot of the guys like Jazz, not a good OBP guy, Ozzy, not a good OBP guy. Now, Semien's fine there, and so is Altuve, but again, they're about 6, 7, 8 years older than a lot of these other guys in this kind of top 10 for this position. So, yeah, absolutely. But this position is kind of taken it was on the rise for a bit, Chris. Now it's kind of taken a massive step back this year, I think. It's like a lot of guys are hurt, underperforming, just getting older. I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I'll have in my next dynasty update. I don't think I'll have one second baseman in my top 50. I mean, Jazz and Semien and Ozzy are all right there. Altuve's, you know, not in top 50 anymore. And then there's a drop off to like the back end top 100 guys like the Gormans and Glabers and Indias. But I don't think I'm going to have any of these guys top 50. And if there is one, it's going to be barely inside. So, yeah, this is definitely taking a step back this year.
Yeah. I mean, there was certainly chances guys could take a step forward. Like we thought Albies may take a step forward after
right.
His injuries and year last year, Jazz, like all those guys just haven't. And Albies has been interesting. He has 14 home runs, but just 2 steals and a 253 average, barely over 304 OBP. So, you know, nobody wants to claim to be the king of the position. And while Jose Altuve probably is the guy, like for dynasty, he's 33. He's been injured all year. So, like I said, no one's done it.
Right. And Albies is, he's trimmed the K rate, actually career best mark. You know, power's been pretty solid this year, but yeah, the speed is kind of dried up. He's still, you know, swinging and missing, or the chase rate. So he's still very aggressive. So yeah, it's just leading to, even though it doesn't strike out a lot, it's just leading to some, you know, some weak contact in general. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you have Aussie or even any. And this is a position that I'm probably going to go just roll the dice with. If I can get like an India or a, you know, Gorman's probably too high for my liking in terms of the price. Maybe a Gleyber. I feel like he's still pretty undervalued on a pretty solid year. Yeah, Jimenez has fallen off, and who knows if McLean will have that eligibility. You know, who knows if Westbrook will get that eligibility, like two of the younger guys. And then you got, you know, the Edward Julians, Curtis Meads, who's kind of fallen off a bit. So, yeah, this is a, you know, obviously Von Grissom, who, you know, more of a shortstop, but had eligibility, not coming through like we thought he would. Yeah, this is definitely a down position for sure. But moving over to our next guy here, going to the outfield with Lane Thomas with the Washington National, who's, you know, even I was surprised when I looked. I think I was talking with him in my Discord the other day, and I was like, man, this guy is actually having a sneaky good season right now that nobody really talks about because nobody really pays attention to the Nationals that much anymore. In 268 plate appearances, 9 home runs, 6 steals, slashing .279, .332, .457. How you feeling on Lane Thomas, Chris? You buying into this?
Yeah, and he honestly just keeps getting a little bit better as the season's kind of gone on. You know, the numbers you mentioned, obviously really good, but all 9 of the home runs have come since May. Like, in, he hit first home run May 1st, so 9 home runs since May 1st. That's 157 plate appearances, 4 stolen bases over that time, and he slashed .299, .344, .571 over that span. So, yeah, I'm interested, like, you look and some of the underlying data is kind of but he still keeps performing. And there's guys that just can just underperform or overperform their expected metrics, their Statcast metrics, etc. He's kind of doing that this year. We've always known that Lane Thomas had plenty of speed. Like, you know, yeah, it hasn't been the biggest base stealer, but he's a good runner with good sprint speed. And this year we've seen, I think, him take advantage of using that speed with the new rules to maximize his stolen base output. While I think there could be some regression, there's certainly been solid power speed. And I think you could sell Lane Thomas right now. Maybe not, because there's not much name value, as you said. It's like, it's just Lane Thomas. And you look and you see, oh, he's been pretty solid power speed wise. So I don't know what you could get for him. And it may be one of those cases where you just keep riding it out and see where he takes you. Like, from a hot streak standpoint, because he's been hot for a while now, well over a month. And if that sticks, I think there's a lot of value to be had here.
Yeah, he's more of a hold for me. Like you mentioned, I just, in general, if I just say lean buy or sell, I probably would lean sell. But at the same time, like you mentioned, you're not going to get a lot for him. Like the name value, the perceived value, this isn't overly high, but he just, I've never been a huge Lane Thomas guy. I mean, yeah, 9 home runs, 6 steals are nice. I mean, a lot of the expected metrics aren't the greatest. You know, they're in kind of like the bottom third or so of the league, you know, kind of middle of the pack in terms of quality of contact, both of which are kind of right around league average, a little bit below average walk rate. I mean, it's not bad. Like, zone contact is actually really good. 88.2 zone contact. And chase and whiff are both above or better than league average, I should say. So, you know, there are some solid things in the profile. So, yeah, at this point, and he's still only 27. It feels like he's been around a lot longer. Like, if you had me guess his age, I probably would have guessed 30, 31 on Lane Thomas. But he's still only 27 years old and, you know, good sprint speed. You know, again, pretty solid plate discipline metrics for the most part. Contact skills are good. So, yeah, I think I'd just hold on right now and just kind of ride it out. Or if you do get a good offer, I'm not opposed to selling, but you probably won't get an offer that you like right now for Lane Thomas. But last hitter on the list here is Francisco Alvarez, who has really been cranking it here once he's finally starting to get, you know, at least somewhat regular playing time here with the Mets. But in the month of May, now he's been, the last week or so, he's kind of come back down to earth, but he's still hitting for a lot of power. But month of May, 292, 363, 667, 7 home runs and 6 doubles and 80 plate appearances. Yeah, he's only hitting 188 this month in 33 plate appearances, but already has 4 home runs, kind of showcasing that power we all knew was there. 12 home runs total in 150 plate appearances, you know, with a 36.5% hard hit rate, 12% barrel rate. You know, still only hitting 243 with a sub 300 OBP. So there is some, you know, while he is performing well overall in the power department, there are still some kind of underwhelming metrics, so to speak, in this profile. So where are you at right now on Alvarez, Chris?
I mean, I'm honestly willing to admit I was a bit wrong. I thought Alvarez might struggle this year at the plate.
I did too.
He has not done that at all. Well, he did. He struggled early on, but he's just been so good as of recent. As you mentioned, he's come back down to earth a bit over the last week or so, but there's still been plenty of value provided. And I don't know. I just think,
hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Who is Francisco Alvarez? That's a tough question to answer at this point, but I think you know that he's going to provide good power. He's probably not going to hit 292 like he did in May, right. But could he hit 250 consistently? Absolutely. I mean, he's sitting at 243 right now. Like, I don't see any reason he couldn't be a 250 or better hitter. And with the kind of power that he brings to the table, like, he could certainly get 25 home runs pretty easily. So I'm so interested to see how this body continues to develop. And he's 21. So, like, what does he look like in a couple of years? Like,
yeah,
I have concerns if he can stay behind the plate. I mean, and he could. Like, it's, you know, it's possible that he does. Like, some of the catching metrics are pretty good. But that body just concerns me a bit. So, yeah, I am impressed with what he's done. Hits the ball hard. He's cut the K rate. He's had the home runs. But like I said, probably meeting somewhere in the middle of what he was in May and then what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am too. But the power is absolutely legit. This guy gets, you know, 500-plus plate appearances. Could even hit 30. I think that's definitely in the cards with his power. And I've seen his power in live in AA, and it was, you know, legit back then too. That's never been the question. But yeah, like, the contact skills aren't the greatest right now. He's not walking much this year. He's a guy that walked a pretty good clip in the past, like, well over 10%. It's 5.5 right now. But yeah, I think 250 with 25 to 30 home runs is pretty fair. And that would make him a top 10 dynasty catcher. Like, if I'm going over here to sort by catchers now instead of second baseman, I mean, yeah, obviously he's, you know, I think Adley and Will Smith are like in a tier by themselves at this point. And then second tier, you still got Realmuto. I think Murphy's in that second tier. But then I think you can make a case. So I think those are the top four or so. But then you got Varsho. That's a massive cluster. Like, okay, let's rank these guys here, Chris. For Dynasty long term, I mean, do we still include Dalton Varsho in this discussion or no?
He won't have it after this year, so I'd say.
Yeah, let's take him off. So let's rank moving forward. So I think top four, Adley, Smith, JT and Sean Murphy. So let's rank Francisco Alvarez, William Contreras, and Alejandro Kirk moving forward. How would you rank those three?
I think as you had it, Alvarez, Contreras, and Kirk.
That's all I have them too. Right now I have Alvarez 129, William Contreras 142, Kirk 156. I mean, Melendez probably was in that group to start the year. He's fallen off. Some of these prospects could get up there. Like, maybe we see Ohapi get up there, Austin Wells, maybe Harry Ford, Bo Naylor, Soderstrom, guys like that, Henry Davis. But yeah, I think that's tier two right now, or tier, I'll call them tier three. I'll say JT and Murphy are probably tier two. And then these guys are probably tier three, and then another drop off. So, but yeah, I think you can make a case for Alvarez as high as the number five dynasty catcher right now behind Adley Smith, JT, and Sean Murphy. And it helped maybe even, actually, Murphy's only 28, so I was, and maybe if you don't want, if you want to go younger, I can see people making a case for Alvarez above Murphy, even though Murphy's been really, really good this year for most of the season. So, but yeah, I think that's where we at, where we're at with Alvarez right now. Good power bat, but you know, maybe around a 250 hitter or so. Have you ever felt frustration with managing all of your subscriptions? I know I have. With all the streaming services we have nowadays, it can be difficult to keep track of them all. But don't worry, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/toolshed. That's rocketmoney.com/toolshed. rocketmoney.com/toolshed. All right, Chris, let's go over to some pitchers now, starting in Tampa Bay, because you know Zach Eflin has really stepped up for the Tampa Bay Rays this year, especially right when they need him, as they've been dealing with so many injuries on the pitching side. Like him and McClanahan have kept that rotation afloat the entire year. They've lost, you know, they've lost Springs and lost Rasmussen. Shane Boz obviously is out. Luckily, they just got Glasnow back recently, but in 11 starts, Eflin has an ERA right under 3 at 2.97, WHIP right under 1 at 0.96, xERA is at 2.82, he's got a 25.7% strikeout rate, only a 3.5% walk rate, which is top 4% of baseball. I mean, he's only 29 years old. I feel like he's another guy that I feel like he was a little bit older than he was. But pitching really well right now. There's not a lot of metrics in the profile that I'm thinking that it's not legit. So I'm mostly buying right now. How about you?
Yeah, I mean the Rays work their devil magic again with another pitcher. Just don't break them. They like make them really good and they break them.
I know. So, what's up with that?
I know. But yeah, they changed. I mean, his pitch mix changed, so that's important to note. I mean, he slowly like decrease the usage of his sinker like year over year, and it's down to the lowest point since 2019. So that's obviously encouraging to see. He's using the cutter significantly more. He used it 15% of the time last year, up to 30% of the time this year. The curveball usage rate is up 6 percentage points. That's substantial. Using the four seam way less. So yeah, there's some tangible changes here that obviously matter. He uses a sinker to induce a lot of weak contact, keep the ball on the ground, has a negative 8-degree launch angle against it, so that's obviously very ideal. He gets some whiffs with it, too. You like to see that. But the secondaries are really the bread and butter here. Starting with the curveball. His curveball is extremely, extremely good. He has a 34.1% whiff rate on it. He uses it 26.6% of the time so far this year. The movement profile on it is really solid in my opinion. You watch it and it's like, okay, like it gets some good horizontal movement. Savant will tell you that it doesn't have the best vertical movement. Doesn't matter. It's getting the results and the horizontal movement is there for it. His sinker has also changed its shape a little bit this year. So looking at a lot more vertical movement with the sinker and he's actually getting less horizontal movement. So the shape has completely changed with the sinker, and it seems to have paid dividends a bit there. So obviously those changes do matter. And overall, like, I just think Eflin's a guy, and he just keeps performing. He keeps pitching well. He's never going to be flashy. He's never going to give you a ton of strikeouts. This is just a really nice arm that provides a lot of value. And like you said, 29 years old, it surprises me. Like I knew that, but it's like it feels like he's been around so long. We forget right. There's plenty of good days ahead for Zach Eflin.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you mentioned, he induces a lot of weak contact, a lot of contact on the ground, which is always good to see, and limits damage with the walks. He's always been that way. The highest walk rate he has in any 1 year of his career is a couple years back to back, 2018, 2019, is at 6.8%, which is still, but around 1.5% above league average, which is about 8.5% or so. So yeah, he 25.5% K rate this year, which I think is sustainable moving forward. He can miss bats with the curveball. So it's a really good curveball. 155 batting average against, 34% whiff rate. Changeup though, it's only 5% usage rate, 39% whiff rate. So and then obviously the sinker and the cutter as well, which are both pretty solid offerings, especially the sinker. So, yeah, I think this is a legit profile that I'm willing to buy into and still a pretty, you know, fair value on him. It's like you said, Chris, he's not flashy. And these guys that aren't flashy are the guys that you can get for usually a pretty fair price. So especially if you're a contending team right now, this is a great piece to have or try to go out and acquire. Kind of a similar situation with this next guy here, just not flashy at all, but just doing his thing and having a very good year. And that's Marcus Stroman for the Chicago Cubs. 14 starts, 2.42 ERA, 1.04 WHIP. And a little bit, you know, not the best K to walk ratio, not like F1 has, but 21.7% K rate, 9.2% walk rate. This is a profile, though, Chris, where I'm not saying I'm completely not sold on him, but I don't know. I'm not as in on Stroman as I am with F1. Like I mentioned, doesn't miss as many bats, walks more. You know, the xERA is nearly a run and a half higher at 3.73, almost nearly identical to what it was last year when he had a 3.50 ERA. I mean, he's solid, no doubt about it. He gets a lot of ground balls. He's been above 50% every year of his career in terms of ground ball rate, and above 60% in 5 of 8 years, including this year where he's at 61%. So I do think he's a solid arm, but this is one where I'd probably more look to sell right now, because I don't see him maintaining, obviously not anywhere close to his 2.42 ERA or even low three, but or below three. But this is a guy that was 3.22 in 2019, excuse me, didn't pitch in 2020, 3.02 in 2021, and 3.50 in 2022. So I think in that regard, he's absolutely legit for what he's been doing the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at him this way. It kind of reminds me of another Cub like Kyle Hendricks, where he's not flashy, doesn't get a ton of Ks, but his arsenal is just kind of geared to keep the ball on the ground, and he's going to keep the ratios in check. Now, he's not going to pitch to a 2.42 ERA the rest of the season, but I mean, it wouldn't be surprised to see him pitch to a low 3s ERA. He's eating a ton of innings. I'm curious to see where his total innings lands, because he's already at 85 innings right now, which is pretty substantial. We're probably a little over a third of the way done with the season. So how many innings does he get this year? And I'll be curious to watch that, as he has made 14 starts, but he's going like 6 innings nearly every start. He's had a complete game, a couple 8 inning, like it's good to see. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I think I'd sell if I could, but know where the value is. Like, Stroman's value is in the fact that he is going to just be that guy that can keep the ball on the ground and not going to get a ton of Ks, but keep your ratios in check.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty fair. Let's keep it in Chicago, but go over to the other Chicago team here with Michael Kopech, who has really turned the season around. So he's off to kind of another lackluster start of the 2023 season, but has really turned it on over the last, you know, really 6 or so starts. Let's see, starting on May the, what's that count down? He has 6 walks, but starting on May 19th against the Royals, 8 innings, 1 hit, no runs, no walks, 10 Ks. Then he had 7 shutout innings, 1 walk, 9 Ks against Cleveland on the 24th. Then he had a kind of a clunker. Well, 4 runs and 4 1/3 against the Angels on the 29th, but also had 10 Ks in that game, so it did salvage it a little bit. And then against the Tigers on the 4th of June, 7 innings, 2 runs, and 9 Ks, only 1 walk. And then most recently on Saturday against the Marlins, 5 innings, no runs, 1 walk, 6 Ks. So, okay, I think there's 2 camps right now. Are we believing in what Kopech's done over the last, you know, 3-4 weeks or so? Or do we feel like this is a lot to do with the quality of the opponents he's faced? Like I said, Kansas City, Cleveland's not a good offense this year. Detroit's terrible. Miami, well, though better lately, still not a great offense in general. So where are you at on Kopech right now, Chris?
Well, I think he's interesting because he actually made an asserted effort to change his release point. And you look at, we talked about those numbers of when it kind of turned on, he started performing well. Like, the release point has been pretty much completely different since then. So I don't have the direct numbers. Like, you can get the direct numbers on Brooks Baseball, but you can look at the image on Baseball Savant, and you can see, like, you can choose by game date of the release point, and you can see just how different it is if you look from May on or you look like before May. So I think that when you find things like that, it's like, okay, like, I think there's some staying power here because there's something that actually changed. And in that case, like, then Kopech could be legit. But I'm still a little hesitant because there's been a lot of volatility before. And he's shown us flashes of being very good. And then it kind of just all goes to crap. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm really confused kind of with who he is. And I hate to say that, but I just don't have a concrete opinion on what I think Michael Kopech is as a pitcher. But I will say, like, the results paired with the change in release point are very encouraging signs.
Yeah, no, the fact that he did make the tangible change, and Lance Brozdowski pointed it out on Twitter as well, and I had a good little breakdown of it too, that, I don't know, I'm at least intrigued right now. I mean, I'm still not, I wouldn't say I'm buying in, though, because, like you mentioned, we've seen spurts from Kopech in the past, and maybe if this was being done against better offenses, I'd buy in a little bit more. And I'm not saying I'm not buying in at all. I'm kind of still in wait-and-see mode, see if this continues, you know, if he can, you know, do this against better offenses that aren't in the bottom third of many team offensive metrics this year. And you just look at some of the, you know, he's a four pitch guy, you know, predominantly fastball slider that takes up about 87.5% of his usage rate, then change up about 6.5%, curveball about 5.5%. You know, he has not located that change up whatsoever. It's the command of that. The heat map is it's terrible. There really isn't a heat map. It's just all over the place, most of which is not even close to the strike zone. The biggest red heat part of the heat map is way out of the strike zone. And then the curveball hasn't really been consistent for him either. Even though, oddly enough, he has not given up a hit yet on the changeup, but I guess he hasn't really thrown enough strikes to give up hits, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough. Like you bet, it's tough with Michael Kopech. We know the talent's there. We've seen it. I mean, this guy was, you know, in a lot of outlets, the number one pitching prospect, you know, was it 7-8 years ago at this point, and that was for a reason. Like he's been electric arm, and he had that one good year, mostly out of the bullpen in the major leagues. But I'm just still not completely sold that this guy's going to be an effective major league starter, or at least an impactful one. So I'm still in wait and see mode here. So I want to see if this continues moving forward. So I'm still a little bit hesitant that I think it can here. Next name, though, Braxton Garrett, another guy that started off not so great, but has turned it on of late here, pitching very well for the Miami Marlins, which they kind of need him with a lot of their some guys hurt and, you know, some guys underperforming as well. Overall, he's a 4.10 ERA, but month of June here, or his last, let's go to start by start here. His last, outside of giving up four runs to the Royals on June 5th, zero runs in 5 1/3 last time out, which is actually earlier today on Sunday. And then he had one run in 5 1/3, two runs in 5, zero in 6 1/3, one in 5 innings. And really outside of, he had two back-to-back starts. He got absolutely shelled by your Braves, Chris, 11 earned in 4 1/3, May 3rd. And then he gave up 4 and 5 1/3 on the 8th against the Diamondbacks. So before that, he was in up 1 and 2 earned runs in those starts as well. So it's really just been a couple of blowups here that have really hindered Garrett and kind of caused the ERA and whip to balloon. But I don't know. I'm still not a Garrett believer. I mean, he's never been a guy that strikes out too many batters. The quality of contact that he allows is way too high. 46.5% hard hit rate, barrel rate around 10%. I don't know. He's trimmed the walk rate the last couple of years. That's very encouraging, but I don't know. I don't know if you can sell him. I don't know if there's like a market for Braxton Garrett, but I'm not really buying it right now.
He's an interesting one where he's reworked some pitches a bit, and we've seen the slider movement profiles changed a little. Like he's added a few inches of vertical drop to the slider, and he's gained a little bit of sweep too. Like he's over 10 inches of sweep. So, and he leads with the slider, which is awesome. Like I love to see that. His four seam's getting a lot more run to it. Like I like to see that too. So that's obviously encouraging. Changeup's interesting. It's actually less horizontal movement, but it's more vertical movement. So I was curious, like, if he changed his pitch mix, like, after that Brave start where they just left him out to dry. Like, that was so, so bad to leave that poor guy out there to just allow 11 earned runs. And he obviously didn't have his confidence for his next start either. But since those starts, like, he's honestly been the Marlins' best pitcher. And there's some really good arms. Like I said, am I buying this long term? I mean, like, I think he's fine. I love to see him lead with the slider. I don't like the sinker. Like, I'd rather him continue to throw the changeup more, the curveball more, and use the sinker less because he's featuring a cutter too. So there's still things that I would change about his arsenal personally, but that slider's a really good pitch. I think that Braxton Garrett is usable in most all fantasy leagues. Maybe he's like a back-end starter, but he does provide value. But I'm not sure I'd say I buy like what he's done the last month or so.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Usable is definitely a good term to use for Garrett right now. I definitely agree with that. All right, last name here, round out the show. Guy that I saw yesterday or on Saturday against the Phillies is Bobby Miller. I mean, obviously one of the, he's always been one of the top pitching prospects in baseball for the last handful of years now, since he was drafted back in 2020 in the first round, 29th overall. 24 years old, and he's made four major league starts, and he has looked really damn good in really all of them. Give up an earned run each of the first two and zero earned runs in the last two. And this is not like he's facing bad offenses. I mean, okay, one was against the Nationals, but his debut was against the Braves, and then he's faced the Yankees and the Phillies. So it's not like he's facing bad teams here, and he's pitching not just passive, like he's pitching very, very well. Again, only giving up two runs in 23 innings. And the fact that he's missing bats, you know, not like a super high K rate, 26.5%. And what was the whiff rate? The whiff rate's 25.7%, 28.5% chase rate. But he's doing that while getting ground balls around 54.5%. You know, walk rate's right around 8%, which is pretty solid. Limiting hard contact. Expected metrics are kind of all very good as well. I mean, obviously, Chris, like you and I have both seen Bobby Miller live out in the Arizona Fall League, which was 2 years ago. I couldn't remember if it was last year or before. But yeah, outside of, I think he gave up a home run to Jeter Downs,
if I recall.
Yeah, but outside of that, he looked pretty damn good in that outing as well. And obviously, you know, big fastball that gets up. You know, he was hitting like his last strikeout in that game, which was the last pitch he threw, I think was 98 or 99. He's averaging 98.5 on it, slider around 90, which is already becoming one of the better sliders in baseball. 0.91 batting average against, 42.5% whiff rate. You know, changeup's been pretty solid as well. Yeah, Miller is really good. We've known that for a while, and now he's showing it, you know, on the biggest stage for one of the best teams in baseball. I mean, I think the question is, though, Chris, how high can Miller rise? Like, do you think this is a guy that could be a top 15, top 20, top 25 fantasy arm or something like that? I'm going to go top 25, you know, kind of still wait and see on top, you know, higher than that, but definitely a guy that could be a number two for fantasy purposes for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. You look and the stuff is really good. I mean, we're talking about one of the best graded sliders, like in the game. His stuff plus on the slider is 159, where 100 is average. That's insane. His overall stuff plus is 116. It is the, it is the third best on the Dodgers, but it's behind Bruce Dargaretto, who's a reliever, and surprisingly Dustin May. Like, Dustin May doesn't miss bats, so it's kind of weird, but we've known May's stuff is really good, so that's not surprising to see May at 119, Miller at 116. But that slide, Bobby Miller's slider is just spectacular.
Nasty.
His arsenal is overall, when you look at Savant compared based on velo and movement, Gerrit Cole, Hunter Green, Jacob deGrom, and Sandy Alcantara.
I was going to mention that too. Yeah. And then Luis Ortiz randomly, but
yeah, that's what, yeah. So maybe Ortiz has something that we should look for, but I mean, he sinker averaging near 99. His slider is 90 miles an hour. It's 42.6% whiff rate on his slider right now. The movement profile on the slider is just downright nasty. It's kind of everything you want in a pitcher. Like if you were kind of building a pitcher, like Bobby Miller's like it. He's 6'5", he's 220, he's athletic. He's got a big fastball. He's got good breaking balls as well, good secondaries. And the stuff plus on other pitches is really good too. I mean, look at cutter. I'm looking at Dustin Mays there. It's cutter 112. It's changeup 116. And the fastball or sinker is 109. So, you know, there's some good value to be had. And this is a really good arm. I think the league will adjust. Like, we're going to see him not, obviously not pitch to the level that he's pitching to right now. But I do think Bobby Miller is a really, really good arm that I'd invest in if I could. I would trade for him right now because I think his price tag probably only goes up.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think he's top 100 dynasty right now?
He's close. I mean,
yeah, he's up again there.
Yeah. I mean, I was pushing Bryce Miller there before he just randomly decided to suck. So, I mean, I think Bobby Miller's got to go there.
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to think some pitchers in that back end top 100 range. Would you rather have, oh, here we go, one name that we just mentioned in the similar pitchers based on velocity and movement. Would you rather have him or Hunter Green moving forward?
Still lean Green, but I think it's closer than we probably have it.
Yeah, this is so close. I might even lean Miller because, you know, Green's still just giving up too many, you know, putting too many guys on base. Strikes out a ton of guys, but maybe there's a slightly higher floor with Miller. But yeah, it's very close. How about Miller or Hunter Brown?
I think those are two very similar arms, actually. Yeah. And I guess I would have Brown higher, but I don't know. I think this is it really makes you think about where you have these guys ranked because, like, clearly Bobby Miller's going to move up a lot.
Right. And I think I still would lean Brown now, but yeah, that's another one that's getting pretty close here. How about, I'm trying to think of another younger name in this range. I mean, obviously, I think we both have Yuri Perez over him. Well, Bobby Miller or Grayson Rodriguez.
I think you're going to go Bobby Miller there, honestly. That's one that I wonder if you could make that trade. If you could trade for Bobby Miller.
You probably could. I mean, that's still going to be pretty close for me. I got to see. I'm still tweaking with where I'm going to have Miller this next update and how high he's going to rise, how far down I'm going to drop G-Rod. G-Rod looked pretty damn good the other day, but I want to see him do that at the major league level now. But, yeah, so I think these are guys that are right around 100 overall for me or just inside. So I think that's where Miller's probably going to settle in. But, yeah, very impressive. I was very impressed watching him yesterday. He was nibbling a little bit. He had three walks, but you could tell the stuff was just really good. And he maintained that velocity into that last pitch, which is always encouraging to see too. As long as he can stay healthy, I think this could be a pretty durable workhorse arm for sure. But all right, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out our personal platforms for more work from each of us and join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.